Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Are you ready?
Get ready, dog. Get ready.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Rocket Networker Podcast. I always like to begin with a silly networking story. Today's story is about using social media platforms to connect with fellow alums from your high school and college. For nearly 20 years, I've spent 2 to 3 hours per week using LinkedIn to connect with University of Toledo and Central Catholic High School alums around the world. Their stories and success always amaze me. And that's where today's Rocket Networker guest comes in, Eric Wren. Eric is the Chief Growth Officer for Inawell, a mental health software platform in Sydney, Australia. Eric and I connected on LinkedIn in July of 2023. While we attended college at different times and were members of different fraternities, we share a common bond through our love of the Rocket Nation and fraternity life. Eric, thanks for making time in your busy schedule to join us on the Rocket Networker Podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick. And it's great to connect face-to-face like this, like you said, initially starting on LinkedIn. So really appreciate it.
No, it's great. Well, I appreciate you making time in your busy schedule. So let's kind of start from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
So how did we migrate ourselves from the University of Toledo and Toledo, Ohio to Australia? I think the audience is going to want to know that first.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's, as you mentioned, UT and Rocket Nation is woven throughout it. It truly is woven throughout it. And my background is originally from Ohio, smaller town in Ohio, for those listening in Northeast Ohio. Originally grew up in Willowick, Ohio, a very small town. Eventually moved to Mentor, Ohio, where I attended Lake Catholic High School. So we were a part of, because there'll be a lot of Ohio people on this listening to this, Rick, the North Coast League was gotcha. The sports division. I don't think the NCL is around anymore. I feel like mom and dad always send me updates around which divisions are actually playing each other. But that's my background, was Willowick and Mentor, and eventually made my way to the university in 2003, where I was studying at the time, ironically, international business. Dropped that major after the first year, which is very ironic now that I've lived in Sydney, Australia for 8 years, studied accounting. And throughout that time, the fraternity was always a central part of my life and my experience there. So Pi Kappa Alpha was the fraternity I joined, still a proud member of. And what ended up happening was I went the accounting route to all my accounting background, job, people with jobs in accounting, no offense taken to my next comment. I just never had the passion upon graduation. I did the internships. I worked with KeyBank as an intern my junior year in Cleveland, Ohio. I actually signed a contract with Gilmore, Jason, and Mahler, and I don't know if that firm is still around in Toledo. And I signed it my senior year in December, and I went to Vegas with my older brother at the time, because I had just turned 21, and I got a call from my national fraternity saying, would you ever consider working for the national fraternity? And I had just signed my contract with Gilmore, Jason, and Mahler, and I considered it, but I said, sure, I'll take a phone call and maybe I'll do an interview. And ended up doing the interview process, decided that that was something I wanted to pursue, was working for the national fraternity in Memphis, Tennessee. Small town Ohio boy moving to Memphis, Tennessee, 13 hours away, was not something common in my family at the time. And but it was something I wanted to pursue. And where the connection of UT starts to come into play, and we'll count this as the first connection, Rick, I had to go tell Gilmore, Jason, and Mahler that I had to rescind my offer. But I wanted to do it in person because I had just gone to the Christmas party where they invited all the new hires at Mr. Gilmore's house. And I felt beyond, you know, devastated that I was going to be rescinding the offer. And I went to go meet them. And Mr. Gilmore, I tell him my story. I'm going to go work for my national fraternity. And lo and behold, I end up finding out that he's a member of our fraternity at Toledo, Pi Kappa Alpha. And I never knew that going into it. And so it made it a little less uncomfortable at the time.
Right.
But I ended up moving to Memphis, Tennessee 2 weeks after graduation in May of 2007. Worked for the National Fraternity for 3 years. Could probably spend an entire podcast talking about traveling the country and what you learn from different campuses and what's really cool about other campuses and you wish Toledo had, and things that you said, gosh, we're so lucky at Toledo to have the setup that we did. Mm-hmm. So that's 2010. And I promise I'll get to 2024 here.
You're good. You're good. Keep going, man. Keep going.
I get another call from an alumnus of the fraternity, but not from Toledo, but he was from the University of Michigan. And I always tell him we'll never hold that against him. And he said, there's this software company called Cerner. It's based in Kansas City, Missouri. It's a growing company. Would you ever want to come into the sales program there? And I always knew sales was going to be a passion of mine and studied it at the university. And like a lot of people listening, had some great experiences in the sales classes within the business program. And I said, sure, I'll take the phone call. I'll have the conversation and just hear out what the opportunity is. And I think that's a key lesson for anyone listening who might be younger, is just take the phone call and listen to the opportunity and just hear what the opportunity is about. It may be something you never thought of, and it may be something that could change your whole life. And it did change my life. I ended up moving to Kansas City in 2010. Never been to Kansas City before. My family in Northeast Ohio was still upset I wasn't back home. But I ended up spending almost 6.5 years in Kansas City working for Cerner, essentially in a sales role, in a sales capacity, selling software in the electronic medical record space. But what ended up happening in my 6.5 years there was I ended up starting the Kansas City Alumni Association for Pi Kappa Alpha. So not men from Toledo, but that connection and that bond of fraternity was woven throughout Kansas City. But more importantly, one of my fraternity brothers from Toledo, so follow the thread here, was an engineering major, Ryan Bradshaw, and to this day, one of my closest friends. And Ryan ended up getting a job moving from Toledo, grew up in Lima, Ohio, very small town. And Ryan ended up working for J.E. Dunn, a very well-respected, large construction company and engineering company. Ryan moves to Kansas City. Ryan doesn't know anybody. Ryan ends up meeting his future wife in Kansas City, right? And he says, I want you to be the best man in our wedding. I said, absolutely, Ryan. You know, you're one of my best fraternity brothers from Toledo. We're living in Kansas City. Let's do this. I did not know the maid of honor. I didn't know any of the bride's best girlfriends. So of course I have to connect with the maid of honor, and flash forward to us finally meeting the day of the wedding. And little did I know that was the first time I'd be meeting my future wife. So my wife and I have been married after meeting that day, we've been married since 2017. She moves to Kansas City. I get an opportunity to, again, another conversation, a phone call. Do you have time to talk? There's an opportunity to go move to Sydney, Australia. And I said, Sydney, Australia? Australia. I've never been to Australia. You can pick one of three cities, Brisbane, Melbourne, or Sydney. And so I take the phone call. I take her out on Valentine's Day. And I said, would you ever move to Australia? And we're just dating at the time, mind you. So she says, absolutely. I propose a few months later. We decide to move. We move September 2016, and we have been here ever since. So it's almost May 2024. We're dual citizens now. We have our Australian citizenship. We have a 2.5-year-old who was born a dual citizen because of our status. But the entire journey, all of it, would not have been possible if I didn't get asked even to be a member of Pi Kappa Alpha. Adam Meyer, in my Spanish class my freshman year, said, just come to the house, come get some pizza. It's recruitment. Again, there's an opportunity. Come check it out. Ben Tran, my pledge educator, guided me throughout my leadership within the fraternity. I would never have had those opportunities if it wasn't for Ben. And James Canary, the gentleman I mentioned from Michigan, Ryan Bradshaw, the guy that introduced me to my wife. But that common thread has always been fraternity. And the common thread has always been no matter where I've been living in the world. So Australia for 8 years, Kansas City for 6.5, Memphis for 3 years. At the end of the day, the relationships and the bonds and the stories, like, doesn't matter where you live. And technology is great nowadays, and it's only getting better. Right. But those experiences and those opportunities that you're provided, it's because of those relationships that are connected throughout your lives. And it's been 17 years since I, quote unquote, left campus. And yet it still feels like those conversations are very real today. And they just happened before we got on this, on this video, as I was taking the bus into the city. Several of the men of our chapter in Toledo were catching up over group text, and I told them I was doing this, and it's always there in your life, no matter where you end up, which is, I think, a pretty cool experience.
Let's pause for a moment. How confident are you that your team knows what to talk about when meeting new people and engaging with people already in their personal network? Are there conversations expediting trust and relationships that lead to results? Or is it time to enhance their skill set and their approach to these conversations? Let's schedule a time to talk about adding the threads of connectivity to their networking, referral, and relationship development approach. Which works best for you and your team? A speech at your next annual meeting, a training workshop, or coaching sessions for individuals and small groups? Visit rocketnetworker.com to schedule a conversation today. Let's launch connections to ignite their success. Are you ready? Now, let's return to the Rocket Networker guest. So here's the thing, Eric. That is such interesting stuff you share. We're going to unpack all this stuff. There's a lot to get to. Let's talk about, dig deeper a little bit into Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity or Pike fraternity. So you talked about how a friend of yours brought you in, but talk about your involvement in the fraternity. What types of roles did you have when you were in the fraternity?
It was a little bit of everything, and it started when I was a new member, taking on the member of new member class president. There was only five of us. And I remember you're 18. I was 18 at the time.
Right.
I grew up in this small town, and this whole fraternity thing was still new to me. But I was given that opportunity by Ben Tran to say, he asked us a question, Rick. He said, "How good do you want to be?" In one of our very first new member meetings, you're in a fraternity, you're 18, and imagine you get asked that question by someone in authority, right, who's a few years older than you. And that really ignited my passion to not just for leadership, but leadership within the fraternity and outside the fraternity. So I took on that role, was vice president for 1 year, became president my junior year. And that was within the fraternity, taking on those roles. And when I left, part of what has always been important to Pike's fraternity is you give back. And you don't just get it back within Toledo, which, while I never lived in Toledo per se, and I lived outside of Ohio ever since 2007, you still give back in other ways. So you can mentor informally, you can give back financially, or you can go find wherever you do live and give back your time through those avenues. So I mentioned the Kansas City Area Alumni Association. I was 6 years an advisor, the alumnus advisor for Rockhurst University, which is in a Jesuit school in Kansas City, Missouri, when I lived there. Now, unfortunately, we have zero chapters here in Sydney, Australia. I've been trying to change that, but fraternity does not exist here. But what I always try to tell even the men I was on the group text with on the way over here this morning on my morning commute, I always thank them after all of our conversations, because we're dealing with some issues right now that we're trying to resolve. But I said to them, I said, "Guys, we will be better because of this, and we will come out stronger. And ultimately, the fraternity is bigger than one person." And it's pretty cool, because the fraternity wrapped around that is our UT experience. And UT is bigger than just one person. So whoever the current leadership is, and or whoever, you know, the new leaders might be, our experiences and that bond we all have as alumnus is bigger than a single person.
You were in high school and you were thinking about, were you like dead set, I'm going to college? Or were you thinking, hey, I'm going to maybe go to the military, or maybe I'll go to a skilled trade? I mean, what were you thinking in high school about life after high school?
Yeah, a great question. I, I knew I was going to go to college. And my brother went to Cleveland State University, so he never did the living on campus experience. So he always lived at home. So okay. No one in my family had ever moved away. Granted, less than 3 hours away. That's nothing nowadays, right?
Yeah, right. So
I always knew I wanted to go to college, but I remember thinking of the Ohio State and some of the bigger schools. I remember going to Ohio State and thinking at the time, this is so big. This is too big for me. And then the reason I ended up at the University of Toledo was because a lot of the guys in my senior year class, for whatever reason, all just started applying to Toledo. And this sounds real, there's no like real thoughtful answer on how I ended up at Toledo, but it was, I think like a half dozen of us just started applying. We all thought it'd be cool to go together. And that's who I lived with my freshman year at Parks Tower was a guy from my senior class from high school.
Okay.
But I always knew I was going to end up at college. My father went to John Carroll University. A lot of his family went to John Carroll. So it was always instilled to try to pursue that higher education once you left high school.
Right. So you come to Toledo then, you get involved in Greek life and fraternity life.
Yep.
Were you involved in other student organizations outside of the fraternity?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it, if not every single one, was because of a thread from someone within the fraternity. So someone older than me, as I tried to go join student government, because I had no idea how to go navigate that.
Yeah, right.
But I started to show up. I started to just be cordial, ask questions, be curious. And you start to navigate your way through that organization. And I think that's a great example of life in general. You don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to know the direct path to go succeed and reach your goal of whatever position you want. But if you're curious and you show up and you ask those questions, you're not just expecting someone to just promote you to be in some leadership role. Over time, if you're okay with not having instant gratification, you can have that success. So student life was one of them, and student government. Dance Marathon, and I think it's called by a different name nowadays, but the charitable arm of one of the largest charity student-run programs was a big passion of mine for a lot of different reasons. Order of Omega was another one, which is, I know, a continuous presence on campus. So there was a lot of being involved with organizations outside the fraternity and having a network, you know, those connections you mentioned, that those connections and those threads are still there today, even within the organizations outside of the fraternity.
Right. That's cool. Now let's talk, you mentioned earlier on your wife and you met her at your friend's wedding. So talk a little bit about did she attend the University of Toledo? Is she in Greek life? I mean, what's her background?
Yeah, she attended. I like to tell her our football stadium's bigger than the University of Missouri's, because if you've ever seen the University of Missouri's football stadium as an SEC school, their end zone is, they don't really have stands. So I always give her a hard time that our stadium is a little bigger. She attended she went to Mizzou, and she was a Zeta Tau Alpha at Mizzou and had a phenomenal experience. And if anyone knows anything about Mizzou's Greek life, it's one of the most traditional, it has a large historical tradition of Greek life outside of maybe your Southern Alabama's and Georgia type schools. It's, she lived in a house with, I think 100 some women at any given time when she was on campus, and, her chapter size is 200 plus women. So in terms of the size and the scope of her experience, it was just on a different scale compared to what I had at Toledo. But I am forever grateful that her bonds and that she had with her sisters and the bond that she had with the woman who asked her to be the maid of honor at her wedding. If it wasn't for that, I mean, it's great that I had my fraternity brother and he met his wife, but if she was never a Zeta and if they didn't have that connection and that friendship and that bond, again, I would not be here, right? I would not be living the life I have. Well, I don't know the age of your audience. I'm sure there are some people younger in their career who are listening to this, but that's a huge life lesson in that you need to be authentic in your desire to want to maybe step outside your boundaries or your comfort zone at times and get involved with organizations like the ones we're describing now. But because that social connection and that social awareness outside of the digital world, outside of the social media and the LinkedIn, those are all great. But if you can't have a foundation of genuinely wanting to get to know someone and having these type of conversations, it's only going to get you so far in your professional career, number one,
right?
Because you can tell the people who can have a conversation when you're on a flight somewhere and you're sitting next to someone and you can just talk to them and be curious and want to know what their story is. Everybody has a story. I'm fortunate. Mine is the way it is. And Rick, the way we connected, there are so many of these stories out there. And I think our world needs to hear more of that in the manner we're doing it right now. And I think it's great that this podcast and this series has started.
Yeah, it's fun. I have so many great things. And that's the power of the threads of connectivity. Mm-hmm. Notice how through our conversation so far, we've talked a little bit about work, but not much.
Yeah,
because the threads of connectivity are about building a relationship, because you know from your sales days, that's where trust comes from. It doesn't come from the fact that you sell software. The trust comes from who you are as a person. Then it evolves into secondarily your business and solving problems, right?
Exactly. And I had mentioned a few times, I've been here 8 years now. And yes, the accent sticks out when you're not Australian and they know you're American. When you walk into a meeting or you're presenting to an audience here in Australia or somewhere on this side of the world. So first off, that's okay, because there's a lot of diversity outside of having an Aussie accent, and that may come out a bit here. But what I always...
You're picking it up after 8 years, right? You're picking it up.
I haven't dropped mate yet, which is good. But what I try to remind people is that when you leave the room or you leave a presentation, I always think, how are they going to remember me by something that I said, the detail behind my presentation, or are they going to remember how they felt once I left the room? Did they have a feeling of trust, of comfort that, hey, maybe they can solve our problems? And the reason I'm in this role right now, I did 13 years with the corporate that moved me here before I'm in my current role. But the reason I'm in this role is because I was referred from someone in my past career who happened to know me, and they told my now CEO that, hey, this is someone you should consider for your chief growth officer role. Okay. And he reached out to me on LinkedIn. I had no idea who he was, but someone vouched for me and said, Eric has credibility. Eric has a set of skills you might need. But I never knew that person was going to make that recommendation or that referral. But it's because I built that trust with that individual in our relationship over time. It wasn't one meeting. It wasn't two meetings. Right. That relationship with that doctor happened over 4 or 5 years. And there was no single point where you say, well, now I have this solid relationship and maybe one day they'll refer me into a new role. It just happens. It's an authentic thing. Yeah. It's a genuine, authentic thing that just happens. And that's what I always challenge people younger in their career is you have to be patient. And if you're willing to have the door open for you, that's what will happen. The door will be opened. They're not going to tell you what path you need to go down when that door is open. But if you're given the chance to have the door opened, don't let it smack you in the backside on your way out because you didn't take advantage of that opportunity. And I always challenge people with that when they're making a career decision. Yeah.
Good advice, by the way. Very good advice. So let's go here. Let's talk a little bit about Australia.
Yeah.
So when you first got there,
what
was it like? Did you remember the first day? Do you remember that? Vividly. I mean, it was a while ago, but do you remember it?
Vividly, because we didn't, the company at the time didn't have our phones ready, our Australian phones ready. So we were going blind a bit. And we knew one guy here who had moved as well with the company about a month before us. And he was in my wedding and, close friend of ours. But we didn't know what we didn't know.
Right.
And we moved from Kansas City with, if you can imagine, like four large bins, if you will, like bins you would go find at like Home Depot or Lowe's.
Right. Yeah. Giant packing.
Yeah. And then we had three or four large suitcases and that was it. That is all we moved from America. to Australia. And we get to the international, we get our baggage, and you have to go through customs because you're going from America to Australia.
Right.
But we couldn't find anyone. Well, how the heck are we going to get four giant Home Depot bins, four large containers? And I love Australia, but no one, we literally had no idea how to get it through this weaving customs line that we had to go through. And there were no carts because you can't take these carts through the custom lines. And for anyone who's traveled internationally, you know, visually, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right. And long story short, I remember, and we were an hour and a half late to get to our driver who was picking us up. No one told him we were bringing that much luggage. He thought we were like only in town for a week. And I'm looking at my wife just thinking, what are we doing? Like, this is a bit crazy.
And we're here 4 hours and I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. But to your question, I vividly remember the feeling of excitement, the feeling of fear, the feeling of, when I say suspense, because you don't know what's next. You don't know what type of opportunities are really going to be provided to you. You know the job you were brought over to do. But you're in, we had never been to Australia. And for those who have been to Australia, it is a different world over here for a lot of good reasons. So that feeling of excitement and fear was all mixed in. And we moved in September of 2016. And for those baseball fans that are out there, if you flash forward a month later, it was the Cleveland Indians versus the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. And that was a month of me being here. Game 7's in Cleveland, you know, my mom and dad and the whole family back in the States are on cloud 9, because if anyone remembers that World Series, one of the greatest World Series ever. And for me not to be there, it was a punch in the gut. It felt like I need to go home. I actually considered flying in for Game 7, and I look back on it now and probably shouldn't have flown back for Game 7 of the World Series.
But those are 2020, right?
Yeah, but those are the things you miss, and you don't realize how much passion you have for the things you grew up with. And a lot of it is sport, and sports is a big part of culture here. But I can assure you, sports in America is a unique, unique experience compared to Australia and the university experience. When I tell people, Rick, what we're doing now and about the fraternity experience, it's, they have this look of, they don't understand it, because that is not university life here. And
right.
So I think it goes back to that unique nature of what we're able to do with our fraternity experience, our student life experience, our alumni experience. That doesn't exist over here. And hence why I thought it was really important to obviously be a part of this series. And
this is a great conversation. This is exactly what the threads of connectivity are about. Our conversation is exactly what the Rocket Networker podcast is about. It's just, people's story and all the roads, different pathways it takes. It's very cool. Let me ask you this. What's your favorite thing about Australia? I mean, what do you tell your mom and dad about it? Like, what's your favorite thing you love about it?
The favorite thing by far is the morning sunrises. It is when I say it's therapeutic, I don't mean it literally therapeutic in that sense. Yeah. But the morning sunrises, I've become a fan of droning. I've always been a runner, and I'm always up early, right? And we live in a place in the northern beaches of Sydney. For those familiar, Manly Beach, which Bondi Beach is the famous beach here. Manly is the second famous beach in Sydney. Okay. And being able to just walk down, we live 5-minute walk, to get there each morning. And the sunrises are unlike anything you could experience. I always tell people God paints with a pretty cool brush on this side of the world. And the sunrises by far are my favorite part of living here, and anything related to the beach. I'm not a surfer. In 8 years, I have not surfed, but being able to always have that outdoor lifestyle and that outdoor experience, growing up in cold Northeast Ohio, it is very, very different than, the lake effect snow, but by far the sunrises are my favorite part of Australia, and the people by far, the people remind me so much of the people I grew up with, the, the Midwestern type person. Everyone is just always willing to help, always willing to see what you need. There's a, they call it the Australian spirit, is one very much where you look out for your mates. And yes, the lifestyle is a little calmer, not as fast paced. Meetings don't start till 9 a.m. Rick, my first day in the office in 2016, I tried setting up an 8 a.m. meeting just because I thought that's something I should do. Every single invite got declined because, as I learned, 8 a.m. is way too early to start a meeting. You have to have your, what we call a cup of coffee. Get a cuppa. A cuppa is a, go get some coffee.
Right.
So that part of the lifestyle, we do appreciate living over here.
We'll talk a little bit about InnoWell and your software. You know, what you folks do. What do you do there?
Yeah, so we're a, you mentioned we're a software company. So we are a clinical decision support tool for the mental health space. So a lot of healthcare around the world, not just here, but in America, has been digitized over the years with the electronic medical record. So the past 15 or 20 years, if you're going in the acute space or going to your outpatient, your primary care provider, it should be digitized. But the one space that is not digitized is the mental health space. And there's a lot of data and statistics, depending where you're at, around the decline in people's overall mental well-being, mental fitness, if you will, whether it's suicidality, anxiety, just unfortunately the stats are not getting any better. But in order to be able to treat any of that or at scale, you need to understand the data of the people that are presenting into the emergency room or the people that are not getting the proper care that they need. And you need to understand where you, what services they should be getting. So we're a piece of technology that supports the broader healthcare ecosystem. And we started from a relationship with the University of Sydney. To put it into perspective, it's our top university here in Australia. It's a top 20 university globally, just if you look at any of the rankings. And their brain and what's called the Brain and Mind Center, which is the research arm in this space, they help put the smarts behind that technology. And so I always wanted to stay in health tech and digital health. I did 13 years with a large corporate out of America and then in APAC. And when I was tapped to take on this role, I actually had a chance to go to another large corporate. And now to be at an 18-person company, a much different lifestyle, first 30,000 people in the corporate side. It's something I would do 10 times over, and I'm glad I've done it. And you're actually passionate about what you do. You know you're making a difference in how healthcare is delivered, which is always something I've been passionate about. And so I've been here about now for about a year and a half in this.
That's great. Well, you know what? We're going to definitely reconvene into another podcast session, because I just think that, you know, when you talk about the threads of connectivity there, I mean, you live it every day. Matter of fact, you should be the rocket. You are the rocket networker yourself. Yeah. And, you know, we share that bond. And I like that. I love the fact that you and I connected on LinkedIn only because of our University of Toledo connection. And now through a conversation, we realize that you and I have so many threads that connect us. We could be on this conversation for the next probably 24 hours.
Absolutely. And if anything comes from this, Rick, I jokingly said to someone, I've always wondered from the university, are there other alumni in Australia, and broadly Australia? I mean, Sydney.
There are. And you know what we're going to do? I will make that connection for you to our associate vice president. There is Billy Pierce. Billy's been with the university a long time and is an outstanding leader. So I will make that connect, and awesome. I'm sure that he'd be more than happy to connect you with folks. We have alums all over the world. So I know a couple there in Australia myself that you and I will connect with offline on, and we'll get to connect with Billy. And maybe you can start an alumni chapter there, and we'll have the Australia University of Toledo.
See, last time I made a commitment like this, it was with a fraternity nationally. I said, guys, do we have alumni in Australia? Next thing I know, we started trying to connect those threads. It's still an ongoing effort, but I think it would be great.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to do. You know, a lot of folks say it's all really easy to do, but we're all working. We've got kids, we're working, you got a lot going on. And, you know, my wife and I were fortunate over the years. We helped start chapters in California and ran the New York City chapter for years in Boston, helped out Boston and other places. But it's hard because everybody's working. We've got an adult life. We're taking care of work and family and friends. But hey, it's still an A for effort to reach out and talk on the phone with some cool people.
So. This is great. This is so it's 10 a.m. ish my time. And this is by far the coolest thing I've done so far for today. And I'm pretty sure the coolest thing I'll be doing for the week, hands down.
You've got a low coolness threshold.
Yeah, exactly. I like to tell people I'm in the future and everything looks good in the future today, which is good.
It's awesome. We're definitely going to do this one again. And so listen, I just want to say thanks. I appreciate you making time in your busy schedule. And I know you got a lot going on. And thanks for sharing the journey. And we'll look forward to doing this again. It'll be fun. We'll pick up the journey in another dialogue.
Absolutely, Rick. Really, really appreciate it. And if anyone's listening and you're in Australia or you're doing business here, feel free to reach out on LinkedIn and more than happy to connect.
That's a great idea. Yeah. So that's it for this episode of the Rocket Networker podcast. And remember, at Rocket Networker, we believe that it's time to launch connections to ignite your success. The key question is, are you ready? To schedule a Rocket Networker training program or keynote speech, go to rocketnetworker.com. It's time to launch connections to ignite your success. Are you ready?